Welcome. I am Brian Romero Smith Sr., and you are listening to a bonus episode of the Liberated Educator Podcast with Ken Shelton and Dee Lanier.
Hey, yo, welcome to the podcast, The Liberated Educators, with two brothers already and able sit at the table. It's Ken Shelton, D. Linnea. Yeah, y'all, they doing this. They're purely intellectuals and equity enthusiasts, creating change by shifting the conversation. It's critical to our culture, to our people, to our nation. And for the record, yeah, they talking education. Yeah, they talking about building our own, because we've been patient. A CPT concept, three different segments that's jam-packed with content we all can invest in. Breaking that chain called tradition, the critical conversations on issues, but y'all listen. They ain't talking about it late, y'all just hearing it. So sit back, relax, tune in, and be a part of this. You know how hard it is. They know you want greater. They know you want the liberated educator.
It was something that came up recently, like today, around the whole idea that people are saying that it's not, you know, going back to what you shared earlier, Dee, people are like, you know, people are wishing ill will on the president and stuff like that. And it's not being a good Christian. It's not this, not that. And then one person responded was like, okay, we're done with you weaponizing religion. I remember you and I talked about that a little bit.
There is that. What is that term for spiritual bypassing?
Oh, yeah. Can't we just love everybody?
Yeah.
Teach love, not hate. Yeah. Spiritual bypass. You know, yeah. We can love each other as long as it's not rooted in my dehumanization and oppression. Sure.
Yeah. And look, I'll give it up to anyone if they're at least consistent. Like, at least I know what lane you're in. And so then I'm like, okay, you're that type or that's you. Blah, 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 blah. And I don't love the categorization. I don't love the tagging. I don't love the labeling. But when someone makes it crystal clear and they say it and they're pretty upfront with it and say, look, systematically, you need to know this is how I operate. Then I'm like, okay, at least I know where to put you. But if you try and come out real, real strong and say, these are your principles and this is why and blah, 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 blah. But then you don't even come close to applying them when someone differs than you, then all of a sudden, like this whole, it's a small point, but it is an example, right? Like the current justice debate, right? It's like, look, you said some stuff really, really boldly. You said some stuff like you were standing on principle and that was your rationale. And then now, you know, 4 years later, you're singing a completely different tune. You were saying then people can use your words against you, but now you're saying something completely different. You're trying to justify, and you're not even acknowledging. You're not even saying, like, with this honesty of, yeah, I said something then. I said that, but my opinion has changed, and let me explain why. Like, because that would at least help me understand what you think. But yeah, that's a clear weaponization when you see, oh, you just shifted. Because you were using it for your favor or in favor for whatever you were trying to propagate.
That's right. I got one for you too. Because, you know, going back to Brian, what you had referenced with me unfriending and blocking people, I blocked this fool on Facebook that, you know, my whole thing with this, you can be friends with somebody, but, you know, in a perfect scenario, we learn, we evolve. And your evolution is a byproduct of your learning, and your learning is not limited to your experiences. And so just because we were friends, let's say 5 years ago, I'm not the same person I am. I'm not the same person now that I was 5 years ago. And so the reason why I say that is because one of the people that I unfriended and blocked, he has been clear that he doesn't necessarily support the current president. But he was like, he posted, I don't know if you all saw it. So he did this post where he's like, you know, I've been clear that I don't agree with the president, blah, 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 blah. But if you agree with, and so then he started posting things. Now, did you all see that post that Dr. Kendi did about the fact that she adopted those two children from Haiti? Did you all see that?
No.
Okay, so Dr. Kendi did a post on Twitter and on Instagram that, because what happened was all those right-wing folks said, okay, you know, what's your excuse in calling Donald Trump a racist now? Look at her, she adopted two kids from Haiti. And Dr. Kendi responded basically.
I saw it on Twitter.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep.
And so Dr. Kinney responded with like, you know, some people who adopt kids doesn't absolve them of their of being racist. And what you want to, something to the effect of, it doesn't absolve them of that. And in some cases, their adoptions are praised because they're civilizing the savages. And so then this dude grabbed that and posted. It was like, if you agree with this or anything Kendi says, unfriend me. And I'm like, okay, now there's our wedge. Because what he clearly doesn't understand now. Okay, so anyway, the message just popped up. Anyway, so he posted that. So let me share this with you all. It doesn't have to be in a podcast, but this is goes to that. And I do think that we should add as a T, like, transformation, but the transformation should be us as people and how we are learning, where we're learning, who we're learning from, who we're learning with, and how we aren't going to be the same person, you know, a day from now, a week from now, a month from now, a year from now, 10 years from now. But my main point is that this guy doesn't know the history around the adoption of Black children and how it is a very insidious industry. And it doesn't mean, and that's why Dr. Kinney's key word was some. He didn't say her and he didn't say all, where in some cases children are abducted. If you've got more money, you get put to the top of the list. And what my whole thing with all of that is, why do you, if you're going to adopt a child from a Black child, why do you need to celebrate it on social media? If you're adopting children, you're just adopting them. But my main thing with where he had posted that was, one, you don't know the history behind the adoption of Black children, especially children from Africa. And I said, and two, the question that you really should be asking is, why do these children need to be adopted from Haiti in the first place? Which goes to the history behind the Haitian Revolution, what the French did, what other European countries did, and what the United States did, which was destroy that country, all because they fought for their own liberation. Toussaint Louverture is the name. And so what they did was they did an embargo on the country, and then they were forced, because they were threatened with military retaliation, they were forced to pay billions. And keep in mind, this is back in 1804. They were forced to pay billions in reparations to France because of France no longer being able to use Haiti as a stopping point, as a part of the not only the Atlantic slave trade, but I got one for you guys. And this is where I would love to have Sarah Thomas on as a guest, because, you know, she's from Haiti, her family is. You know, at that time, Haiti was the number one producer and exporter of sugar in the entire world. Number one. So then you take that historical understanding and then you apply the whole adoption industry and how there are a lot of white folks that are praised for adopting the Black kids. And then now when you apply that to the lens of this SCOTUS, which is one more thing I'm going to share with you all, you apply that to her staunch religious beliefs. And then the fact that she had means and money and mechanism to even adopt those children in the first place, it is a legitimate question to ask. But this guy was like, no, I'm taking my argument, I'm going home with it. And I was just like, you know what, if I keep you as a quote-unquote friend, I now have a cage, not a circle, because you're not willing to understand that there is a whole historical context behind Haiti, and there's a whole historical context behind adoptions, and that what you are. And by the way, you want to talk about colonization? Do you two know that President Obama had her name was Merlane Sable? Can't remember her name. He actually had nominated a Black woman to be the circuit court judge for that district that McConnell blocked. And then as soon as Trump got elected, they put this person in that.
Just to add my one little plus one, and thank you very much, was back to the spiritual bypassing, because I saw the connection. Both of us, we've been to the African-American Museum, yep. Right? And there was a standout quote that I saw, and I took a picture of it, but it was from the missionary, and he's a highly, 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 highly regarded, you know, founder of missions, so to speak, within the faith, Christianity, and William Cooper. And he made the statement of, I am shocked at the purchase of slaves, and fear those who buy them and sell them are knaves. What I hear of their hardships, their tortures and groans is almost enough to draw pity from stones. I pity them greatly, but I must be mum, for how could we do without sugar and rum?
Brilliant.
The crap ain't brilliant. It's frustrating, man. You know? Oh, so frustrating.
No, I don't mean brilliant in the sense of I'm talking about, like, yeah, you want to, now here's one for you. Even that snippet of what you just shared there, D, what do you want to bet? Let's hedge our bets. What's the likelihood that any component of any lesson that examines that and exposes that is going to occur in any class or in any curriculum, period?
We already know.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, I'm glad you put that there. And yeah, it, I mean, so let me be clear. When I use the word, when I say brilliant, I'm saying that is a brilliant examination on the hypocrisy of that perspective of, well, I hear the hardships, but it's almost like this has to be an episode. I have empathy for you. But I don't have any compassion.
You know what? All right. So if I had a soundboard, I'd hit it with the Major Pain right now. If you're looking for sympathy, you can find it in the dictionary.
Right. Like, seriously, that right there is. I mean, again, this was why I love that episode of Code Switch. That right there is a perfect example of the limits of empathy. What I hear of their hardships, their tortures and groans is almost enough to draw pity from stones. There's your empathy. I pity them greatly, but I must be mum, for how could we do without sugar and rum? No compassion. I'm saving this.
Yeah, I was floored by one of the quotes from her, and she said, she makes the argument between the difference between caring for and caring about. And she said, you know, we often talk about or care. We care about a community. We care about people. We care about students. But the real call is a call to action, which is caring for them, which is translated compassion.
Thank you for listening to the Liberated Educator Podcast, bonus edition. Our first episode drops next week, October the 15th, 2020. You can find us wherever you prefer to listen to your favorite podcasts. So be sure to take a listen, like, and share. Until then, let's continue to work towards liberation together.